Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Not a Crime to Be Poor by Peter Edelman examines how American laws, policies, and everyday practices turn poverty into a pipeline of penalties. Drawing on Edelman's long experience in public policy and anti-poverty advocacy, the book connects low wages, housing instability, and limited access to health care with systems of policing, courts, and corrections that frequently punish people for being unable to pay. The focus is not only on dramatic cases, but also on routine encounters such as fines, fees, bail, and probation conditions that can trap individuals and families in cycles of debt and legal trouble. Edelman argues that these mechanisms function as a shadow safety net in reverse, extracting resources from communities already under strain. The book situates these patterns within broader political choices, including weakened welfare supports and limited worker protections, and it presses readers to see poverty policy and criminal legal policy as inseparable. The result is a framework for understanding how poverty becomes both a cause and a consequence of contact with the justice system. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how poverty becomes a legal liability. A core theme is that poverty is routinely treated as a compliance problem rather than a material condition. Edelman describes how everyday survival behaviors can trigger legal consequences when people lack stable housing, reliable transportation, or cash on hand. Missing a court date because a bus route is unreliable, failing to pay a ticket because rent is due, or violating a curfew because of shift work can transform minor issues into warrants, arrests, or extended supervision. This dynamic creates a system where the original conduct is often less important than the person's economic capacity to respond quickly and correctly to bureaucratic demands. The book emphasizes that these legal liabilities are not distributed evenly. They fall hardest on communities where poverty is concentrated and where enforcement is more intensive. Edelman also highlights the psychological burden of living under constant threat of sanctions, which can make it harder to keep a job, maintain custody arrangements, or pursue education. By framing these outcomes as predictable products of policy, the book challenges readers to move beyond the idea that the problem is individual irresponsibility, and instead, consider how institutions convert economic hardship into criminal legal exposure. Secondly, fines, fees, and the modern debtor's prison problem. The book examines how monetary sanctions operate as a hidden engine of punishment. Fines and fees are often imposed for low-level offenses, but the total cost can swell through surcharges, late penalties, collection costs, and interest. Edelman argues that when courts and local governments depend on this revenue, the system creates perverse incentives to assess more charges and pursue payment aggressively, even when ability to pay is clearly limited. The consequences of non-payment can include driver's license suspension, extended probation, warrants, and incarceration, effectively reviving the logic of debtors' prisons without using that label. This structure produces a cascading set of harms. Without a license, employment becomes harder to secure. Without employment, payment becomes less feasible, and the cycle deepens. Edelman emphasizes that the point is not simply that the system is harsh, but that it is inefficient and counterproductive, extracting small sums at high social cost while destabilizing families and communities. The book points toward reforms such as ability to pay determinations, alternatives to monetary sanctions, and reducing the reliance of public budgets on court-generated revenue, framing these changes as both fiscal common sense and basic fairness. Thirdly, policing, low-level enforcement, and neighborhood inequality. Edelman links the criminalization of poverty to patterns of policing that concentrate stops, citations, and arrests in low-income neighborhoods. Low-level offenses such as loitering, trespass, disorderly conduct, and minor traffic violations can become gateways to deeper system involvement, especially when people are already under financial and housing stress. The book argues that these enforcement practices are shaped by policy choices about public order, municipal finance, and political responsiveness, not simply by crime rates. When police attention is focused on poverty-adjacent behaviors, residents experience heightened surveillance and a reduced margin for error in daily life. Edelman also describes how this can erode trust in public institutions, making cooperation with law enforcement less likely, even in serious cases, and weakening community safety overall. Beyond immediate encounters, the book underscores the downstream effects. A record of arrests or outstanding warrants can limit access to jobs and housing, while repeated fines and court dates create time poverty that competes with caregiving and work. By placing neighborhood inequality at the center, Edelman encourages readers to see enforcement intensity as a driver of unequal citizenship, where the same conduct is tolerated in affluent spaces but punished in poor ones. Fourthly, bail, probation, and the trap of impossible conditions. Another important topic is how pretrial systems and community supervision can punish poverty through conditions that assume stable resources. Cash bail can keep low-income defendants jailed before trial solely because they cannot pay, increasing the likelihood of job loss, housing disruption, and pressure to accept unfavorable pleas to regain freedom. Edelman frames this as a structural distortion of justice, where liberty is tied to money rather than risk. Probation and parole, often presented as alternatives to incarceration, can also become mechanisms of entrapment when they require frequent reporting, fees, program attendance, and strict compliance schedules that conflict with irregular work hours, childcare needs, or lack of transportation. Technical violations, not new crimes, can then lead to jail time. The book highlights how supervision expands the footprint of the system by keeping people under control for long periods and by criminalizing ordinary instability. Edelman points toward reforms that many jurisdictions have begun to debate, such as limiting cash bail, using non-monetary release conditions only when necessary, shortening supervision terms, eliminating supervision fees, and focusing responses on support rather than punishment. The broader argument is that a fair system must account for economic reality instead of turning scarcity into a violation. Lastly, policy pathways that connect anti-poverty work and justice reform. Edelman's analysis ultimately treats the criminalization of poverty as a policy intersection problem. Fixing it requires changes in criminal legal rules, but also investments that reduce the conditions that make people vulnerable to enforcement and sanctions. The book highlights how weak wages, fragile benefits, and limited affordable housing increase exposure to public space policing, unstable family arrangements, and the inability to absorb financial shocks like tickets or court costs. Edelman argues that anti-poverty policy and justice policy must be designed together. Raising income floors, stabilizing housing, improving access to healthcare and treatment, and strengthening childcare supports can reduce system contact and improve public safety outcomes. On the justice side, reforms to fines and fees, bail, sentencing, and supervision can stop the system from extracting resources from poor communities. The book also stresses the importance of political accountability, urging attention to local government incentives and the role of state and federal choices that shape local enforcement. The takeaway is practical. Readers are encouraged to evaluate proposed reforms by asking whether they reduce the penalties of being poor, whether they eliminate revenue-driven punishment, and whether they replace control with support. This integrated approach positions the book as both diagnosis and roadmap. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a clear, policy-grounded understanding of how poverty and the criminal legal system reinforce each other. Community advocates, social workers, educators, legal practitioners, journalists, and local officials will find it especially useful because it connects on the ground harms to the incentives and rules that create them. General readers who care about fairness and effective government will also benefit, since the argument does not depend on niche legal theory, but on recognizable institutional patterns. The value to a reader's life comes from learning to identify the hidden mechanisms that turn small setbacks into cascading crises, such as revenue-driven fines, cash bail, and supervision requirements that ignore real-world constraints. That insight can sharpen civic judgment, inform voting and local engagement, and improve professional decision-making for anyone working near courts, schools, housing, or public health. Compared with similar books that focus narrowly on incarceration or policing, Edelman's work stands out for treating poverty policy and justice policy as one system, and for emphasizing actionable reform levers at multiple levels of government. It is worth buying because it equips readers with a coherent framework, not just stories, to evaluate solutions and demand changes that reduce harm while improving public trust and stability. If you would like to support Peter Edelman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.